This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3841, from Monday, the 24th of April, 2023. Today's show is entitled, The Oh No News. It is hosted by some guy on the internet and is about 21 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, Scotty and Bumblebee discusses U.S. Marshals Service ransomware attack and more.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. I'm your host, some guy on the internet, and I'm here with...
Hi, I'm Bumblebee.
Let's begin the Oh No News.
Oh no!
Let's start with threat analysis, your attack surface. In our first article, U.S. Marshals Service computer systems hit by ransomware attack.
Oh no!
The ransomware attackers, known as Scourge, has hit a computer systems at the U.S. Marshals Services. All right, B, what do you know about ransomware?
Not much, to be honest. If I think about it, I just think that if you hear the word ransom, you think that something is being taken and that you need to either pay or give something as leverage or something like that. That's the only thing I could think of. Is it something like that?
Very, very close. That is the gist of it. Ransomware is software malware that usually encrypts a victim's systems, their servers, their data, and then the user is locked out of that data because they don't have the encryption key. The user is then given a message, you know, an ultimatum, either pay the attacker to get the key to then decrypt their data. The federal government has put in place guidelines instructing U.S. companies to not only report when these incidents occur, but also not to pay the ransom.
Which I can understand that. It just makes people do it over again. If you're good to humor that behavior, that is what's going to happen. But I can understand the feeling of wanting it to go away and you just do that. So I can understand.
Now, in this case, because it's the United States Marshals Services, these criminal actors are attacking law enforcement in this situation. So they're not just out attacking your local businesses, Target, Walmart, any other healthcare industries. They're actually attacking the people who would ultimately pursue the criminals.
Out of all the things to hack into, hacking into the U.S. government, federal government is not a smart idea.
I would agree 100% on that. Now, one of the ways that ransomware spreads or a victim encounters ransomware is usually through email. A victim clicks on something in an email. It looks like a legitimate form or document or whatever. But what they don't realize is that document has been infected with the malware payload. The payload is designed to quietly in the background begin encrypting all of the user's data. Most of the time, they're designed to spread. So if your computer is connected to a network, it will begin to spread to other devices on the network. So if you're connected to a backup server, it will spread to that backup server and begin encrypting all of the data on the backup server as well. Not only does it deny the user's access to their data, but it also sends the data back to the attackers. Now, encrypting all of the user's data has two functions. One, it denies the user access to their own data. And two, it also prevents the users or limits the user's ability to discover how the attackers infiltrated the system. So any tracks left behind by the attackers are now covered by the encryption.
What is the reason for them to do it? To see if they can do it? Obviously, they're not asking for money because that doesn't make sense because they know if anyone knows, the U.S. government would never pay them. What information are they trying to receive or take that the U.S. Marshals have? That's my question.
Very good question. Remember when I mentioned that the ransomware has two functions? One, encrypts the data so that the user cannot have access to it. The second function of it is to cover their tracks while the attackers steal the data. They mention that federal judges, as well as other criminal fugitives, a lot of that data was being stored on these servers. Also, legal processes, administrative information, and other personally identifiable information pertaining to the subjects of the United States Marshal Service investigation, as well as third-party information, and U.S. Marshal employees' information was stolen. So basically, they are able to identify undercover agents, judges, decisions that are being made, and all of the underworkings that are being held or administrated by the U.S. Marshal Services.
Yeah, because I was thinking the same thing, very similar things, because anyone that is employed, when you do an employee, you give them your home address. It may be their direct deposits are in there. Like, I think about that too, but I more think of people's safety more than them trying to steal someone's identity. Obviously, they were looking for something, but it's terrifying. They won't pay, and it doesn't say anywhere that there was even a ransom. If these people aren't asking for anything in return, then that means they were fishing for information. They were fact-finding, which is, in my personal opinion, even more scary than them asking for money.
Exactly. They are, as you put it, fact-finding in this attack. This attack potentially revealed a lot of strategies that the U.S. Marshal Services had up their sleeves, and it's now floating around on the internet. Some attacker is possibly bidding this information out to whomever is willing to pay for it. So this kind of information has very deep consequences behind it.
But it also shows the intelligence of these people. For someone like me and you to have, like you said, three backups. I mean, I have so many backups. So if someone happened to hack my computer, I'm like, all right, well, I'll just wipe my hard drive and then get my other hard drive to back everything back up. And there's no worry. I mean, it's inconvenient, yes, but I don't sit here and I'm not going to, you know, nothing to write home about. For them to be able to hack the government, which a lot of people that are in the government are, you know, MIT graduates and all of these very skilled individuals, and for them to be able to get through that, that is very telling on who these people are.
No matter how brilliant we are, if we don't keep ourselves informed and, you know, follow best practices, we'll all eventually succumb to these type of attacks. So it's not a matter of when, or it's not a matter of how, it's a matter of when for us. And our next story.
Major data breach for U.S. lawmakers and staff.
In this story, our U.S. Congress suffered a major data breach. Attackers claim to have stolen information for over 170,000 people over at the U.S. Congress. That's the House of Representatives and U.S. Senate. Some of this information included Social Security numbers and birthdays. So this is very, very valuable information. So B, what do you think about this attack?
I think it's devastating. This criminal has all of this information from hundreds of thousands of people. What they can do with this information, whether they sell it or use it, is really terrifying. We just don't know what they're going to do with it.
You're right. Now, also in this attack, they mentioned the potential for phishing. So these lawmakers and their staffers are not only going to have to, one, review security protocol, but two, now they have to go and update others on the protocol, meaning other family members or so that may be experiencing attacks in the future.
People don't realize that when they're looking for something, they may not be looking for one individual. They may be looking for hundreds of thousands just to have information. Their families, their, you know, they have their social security numbers on there, their emails, their birth dates, their phone numbers, their home addresses, everything. When I was reading one of the headlines, they talked about that they're having security for these people now because of this. These are government officials, the highest of what we have. Even if these hackers didn't have the intent to physically harm them, the information that they're selling to other people, they might have that intent.
Now, B, you mentioned security that they're going to be providing the lawmakers. Are we talking about, you know, Secret Service or something here?
Not at this moment. Mostly it's identity protection.
Oh, I got what you're saying. The identity and credit protection, the monitoring services. Gotcha.
Absolutely. It'd be very difficult for them to have hundreds and thousands of them having, like you said, Secret Service. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised that they're doing that for the regular House representative, but I'm not certain if they're doing it for staff. On our next segment, we are going to talk about the owner of Breach Forms was arrested for conspiracy to commit access device fraud.
All right. So in this story, this Breach Forms was where they sell data. So B, what do you think about this?
Well, it's really interesting because if you remember the last segment, we were talking about the politicians and the providers in the U.S. House of Representatives, all of their information was stolen. Well, it was stolen and sold on this site. They attempted to sell all the personal information on Breach Forms website. So that being said, currently he was arrested on March 15th and he received bail on the 16th and he is supposed to be in court on the 24th.
Oh, man. So we're talking about a place where attackers actually take their stolen data, go to a bidding site to then sell that data. This bidding site was seized by the FBI and the attacker who ran it was put in jail for what sort of cybercrime was he charged with?
Conspiracy to commit access device fraud. Right now, they're not releasing much information based on the court case. But what they are saying is that they did seize all of his information, his documents, everything that he had had on it. And right now they're trying to see who he bought it from.
Oh, so they're doing a trace investigation now. Wow. Well, I hope they end up finding out the links in this chain and bring them all down, actually, because this is scary.
Absolutely, because at the moment they don't have much information on who stole said documents and information, but they do know where it was being sold. So, which is terrifying. All of these things could be sold and put on the black market or even have it as public view. It's easy to change a phone number and change an email. You can't change your birthday or your social.
Yeah, you're right. So in our next story,
US shuts down Netwire.
It turns out it's a remote admin tool, or it was disguised as a remote admin tool, but it was actually malware.
Well, it's pretty obvious that they were selling it just so they can use it to hack into other people's information. Literally, you are paying to be hacked.
Yeah, you're paying for your own, you're paying to be made a victim here. So this was a very insidious attack.
Out of all the ones we've spoken today, this one is probably the most ridiculous.
You want to know something even scarier about it? That device that you have that you call an iPhone, it's virtually the same thing. Here's someone selling you a device, telling you it's secure, and you can use it to manage your daily life. Meanwhile, they're turning around and selling every single thing you do with that device to a third party that you have no knowledge of.
Absolutely. It's the same thing when you see all those people, they say, oh, we will not sell or share your information. I'm always like, are you sure, though? Are you sure, though?
Yeah. I think the only difference between those scenarios with the iPhone and other services and this one, this particular piece of malware was offered directly to attackers. So that's the only difference here. They charged you money to become a victim and then sold the information to attackers who could have a much more direct path to exploiting you. And the FBI seized that, took it down. So hopefully this is out of the way. But I don't recall seeing any arrests being made there. So the people that are doing this are still out there with that source code. So we'll just have to look out for another administrative tool popping up on the market. Let's go ahead and move on to our next story. Hopefully this one isn't as scary. Independent living systems provider, notice of data breach. All right, in this story, B, help me out here. Am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? Is this our most vulnerable citizens under attack?
Unfortunately, yeah. It's so, so devastating. It's so sad because most of the elderly don't understand technology the way that we do. So they expect that when they go to a community care center or what we call it a nursing home They want to live out their life in peace. They don't want to have to worry about this. Most of these elderly, they worry about getting a phone call and scamming them that way. That's a lot of the times where these people pry. And now they hack into this to take it from our seniors. It's just disgusting.
A company by the name of Independent Living Systems has had to put out a notice that their customers, elderly citizens who went there for safety and security, all bundled up together to make one prime target, became under attack. And now, the types of information released in this attack, I mean, it's kind of heartbreaking to hear it, but hear this out. Their names, their addresses, their date of birth, driver's license, state identification numbers, social security numbers, financial information, Medicare and Medicaid, other medical record numbers, as well as their mental and physical treatments and condition information. Everything down to their food delivery information, their diagnosis codes and diagnosis information, the date they were admitted, the date that they were discharged, prescription information, all of this was taken from this database. This was a massive breach that left many vulnerable.
Independent Living System is a third party. So they are kind of like a broker, if you will. They manage a lot of these places. The place that was actually hacked was Florida Community Care. They're the actual nursing home or living facility is what most in the medical field call it, is a living facility. So on average, with insurance, keyword, with medical insurance, you will pay, you could pay as low as $5,000, some people, but in my experience, people had to pay 20, 30, 40 grand on depending on the facility you go to.
Is this 20, 30, 40 grand a year?
No, this is per month. What goes into these facilities, besides your security that got broken into that we're now experiencing talking about, but there's also the care depending on the type of patient there is, or what we call resident, there could be feeding protocols, there could be bathing protocols, there could be a wide range of things which cost different. If someone just has Alzheimer's, but they're able to walk and talk and speak for themselves, but they just have slight of confusion, then they don't charge as much. But if they're what we call in the medical field a complete, which means they need complete assistance, that someone is 10 times more vulnerable because they can't say, oh, I've been, you know, someone stole my identity, because 90% of the time they can't communicate with you, which is even worse.
All right. So what you're telling me is people pay for the ultimate living package for their golden years. And that package is expected to be secure, not only from the physical, because they're kind of gated away or kept separate, but they're also expected to be kept safe digitally as well. And this facility down in Florida was hit. And not only was the facility hit, but the third party which manages the data was also hit.
Yes. What I've looked into is that this Independent Living System actually manages three other places.
Wow. Let's go ahead and switch on over to user space for a little bit.
In this new segment, we're going to talk about how PayPal is issuing a $2,500 fee for misinformation on social media.
Whoa. PayPal introducing a $2,500 fee?
Apparently. I can understand for certain points of views that maybe they're trying to fight hate speech, but it seems a little excessive to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say it's not just excessive. It is absolutely crazy. From what I can see here, they're imposing a fine on their customers of $2,500 for, quote, misinformation, close quote. And they're the judges behind what is considered misinformation. So if you want to challenge it, just know they're the judge and jury. Now, from what I could tell, PayPal has reversed on this effort, but how long? B, I want to ask you a question. I introduced you to HPR, and I sent you a link so that way you can kind of see what the community has for a website and some of our content on the site. Let me know, what do you think about HPR?
I had a little bit of a hard time navigating a little bit. I don't know if it's because it was my first time. When I hit the page or the link that you gave me, I didn't realize I had to go all the way down to listen to said recording. I didn't know where, I guess, the recording would be or the podcast or radio aspect would be. So for the whole time, I was like clicking things. I didn't know. I was clicking the icons. I was clicking the Olno news image. I mean, because there's a lot of things that you can click on because you put links in the description. You do all of those, which are great. But I had no idea where to find it. That was my one issue with it. Obviously, when I did find it, now I know that it's at the end. I'm just used to most of them being the first thing you see. Here, listen here. And the listen now button is at the bottom. I don't know if that's purposeful. But the one thing I really did like is how organized it is. It's, for the most part, it is pretty organized. It's bright. I'm all about day mode. I like that about it. For user-friendly purposes, as long as you click through a little bit, it's pretty easy to follow.
All right. So that's some good information for the site administrators who are looking for feedback for future changes to the show. The site.
Yeah.
I thank you for that information. And this concludes another episode of the Oh No News. B, I want to thank you for coming by and participating in this with me.
Yeah, I had a good time. And I'm really happy that we learned all this information and that we can be resilient and protect ourselves.
All right, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Oh No News.
Oh no!
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by honesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.